Paul said, it was made known unto me, the revelation. And then here comes John. And John states here in the very first verse, he starts it off like this, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the way he starts it off. Now then, am I wrong when I say something to you and I say, brethren, let's think on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, where'd you get that name from? You done thought up a new one? It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, well, so what? There's words in the Bible that says the revelation of Jesus Christ. But see, it's not words in the Bible. Somebody says it says John the Baptist, so we got a Baptist church. But it's not like that. It said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Then that means there was something more than a name in a Bible. There was something that John received. There was something that he got that the others didn't have. You say, what makes you think they didn't have it? Well, if they had it, why did God give it to John like this? Why isn't it recorded where the others had it? I'm going to hold still just a minute here. You know, the Bible said, be still and know that I'm God. That's one thing we need at Little Bethlehem. Now, I know that you have to go to and fro, but I see one person that's done went and come and went and come and still going. Be still. You'll never get nothing from God. You don't stay still long enough. See, the revelation of Jesus Christ is something that God gave him. See, folks, when you move about, I'm not scolding you, but it lets spirits in. You get in another frame of mind, and then we got two minds in here. And the Bible said they were all in one mind on the day of Pentecost. They were fasting and praying, not moving around from place to place. That's what caused the spirit to come to them. If I got a man in here that's in another mind or a woman in here that's in another mind, it's of the devil. You say, how do you know? Well, if I'm in the mind of Christ, what other mind could it be? You say, but maybe you're not in the mind of Christ. Well, then you're foolish to stay here and listen at me if you believe that. Now, we've got to go one way or another. We've got to draw a line somewhere to keep our sanity. Okay, then, if it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, that God gave it unto him. Unto who? The revelation of Jesus Christ. God gave it unto who? Unto John? No, he didn't give it unto John. He didn't say that. How did John become heir to it? It said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Unto who? Unto Jesus Christ. How have you followed what I'm saying now? If you don't listen, you won't get it. The Bible said, take heed how that you hear. When I say something, listen, strain ears to hear it. Be sure that you take heed how that you hear it. Be sure that you hear it. Give more earnest heed to what you've heard, and then be careful the way that you hear it. And you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? See, take heed. Now, the Bible said, give the more earnest heed. That is, pay more attention. Don't move around. Don't lean to your own understanding. Then take heed how that you hear it. How do you mean? Get rid of that mind that I feel over to me right now in a woman. Not bad, just faintly I feel it. Just faintly. Just enough to interfere. Get rid of your reasoning. Lady, you reason too much. You reason in all my services. And it's a carnal mind that is of the devil when that thing starts reasoning. And no matter how faint it is, I can feel it. I can feel it as it comes in. Get rid of that thing or you're going to go to hell with it. To be carnally minded is death. Get rid of it. If you've got a business mind, get rid of it. If you've got a mind to do, to make, to build, to sow, get rid of it. A mind to eat, to bake, a mind for money, a mind for zeal, a mind for ministry, whatever in your personal ambition, get rid of it. And get your mind on one thing, that's the Spirit of the living God, to hear, to listen, not to lean to your own understanding. And when you come to the house of God, leave everything else behind. The revelation. I want to just take my time for just a little bit. I probably won't even hardly get into nothing tonight because I'm taking so much time in the preliminary part. But it's needful. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? God gave it unto John. One of the things that it contains here, the Bible said, to show his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. That was part of the revelation of Jesus Christ right there. is that the man that had that understanding would know what was coming to pass. That's why we emphasize it a lot of times in saying we believe that this is going to happen or that's going to happen. Now, it was so important, the Bible said he even sent his angel to signify, see, which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, you see what I'm saying? How do you understand what I'm saying? Now, what we've got to understand is that God gave the revelation of Jesus Christ to his son Jesus. And all he did to John was signify it to John. And when Paul spoke of it, he said, he made known to me the revelation. But the revelation belongs to Jesus Christ. That's why it is so much more important that we understand what is the revelation of Jesus Christ in a compact way of expression, the mind of Christ. That's what it is. It is the mind of Christ. It is the revelated or revealed or unveiled is a better way to say it. It is the unveiled mind of Christ. Somebody will say, well, Brother Pike, I've got the mind of Christ. The Bible teaches to let this mind be in you, but in what measure do you have it? The Bible said God has dealt unto every man the measure. What measure of the mind do you have? You might just have a measure of it just enough to know that God is God and you want to feed off of the milk of the Word. See, but is in your heart, is it the unveiled mind of Christ? To the Jews, it wasn't the unveiled mind of Christ. The Bible said there's a veil over their heart in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil remaineth until this day. Paul said that in his day, 2,000 years ago or thereabout. He said, 4,000 years has gone by, but the veil has not been taken off their heart even until today. And I believe we can still say concerning the Jews, the veil is still on their heart and on the people's heart to the reading of the Old Testament. But he emphatically stated that this veil is done away with in Christ. That is, things are revelated when you get into the mind of Christ. It is done away with. Paul said, I got into the mind of Christ and said this veil just diminished into nothing. It revelated. So then the revelation of Jesus Christ is the unveiled mind of Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, it was in the veil. When he come to Calvary, from Calvary on, it is out of the veil. But the only thing is, we are slow to hear, slow to perceive many things that say unto us, but we fail to hear properly. We don't hunger and thirst. And it's taken thousands of years from Calvary coming on down to get our attention and to get us to listen just a little bit. And then in the end time, God was going to make manifest the revelation. You say, Brother Pike, now, you built it up to that point. You say it come at Calvary. What makes you think that God's going to do it in the end time? If God done it at Calvary, then why isn't it every minister that ever lived has had it since Calvary? And what proof do you have that it'll be at the end time? I have a proof because the Bible said that at the sounding of the last trump, the mysteries of God would be finished. And that there would be light in the evening time. And darkness is the veil. And that the veil would move. And in the evening time was when it would come to pass. See, it's like I was talking to a brother today. We make a mistake. The thing that we think is that God is going to come, rapture the church away, pick up the righteous. Then when he does that, he's just going to burn the wicked. But that isn't it at all. That's not the way he'll do it. He'll do it just exactly in the reverse. He'll come, gather the wicked, bind them into bundles, and then he'll take the wheat and gather it into the garners. For Jesus in the parable emphatically pointed out that he will send forth his reapers and they'll bind the tares into bundles. There'll be a great revival, this great revival that we've had across the land of all these lying signs and wonders and this big uprise that looked like a revival. You say, Brother Pike, it was a revival. If it's a revival, why are the people dying and going to hell? Tell me that. If it's a revival, why are the people so sick like they are with every kind of disease? Why have they been robbed of their finance? Why are they so bitter? Why are they so upset? See, now I get to preaching. But see, it isn't. It wasn't a revival. That wasn't it at all. So then what was it? God said, I will send forth the reapers that will gather the tares first. What are the tares? Shout, jump, holler, run, dance, frolic, have a good time. And like Brother Douglas said today, he said, Brother Pike, I've run into them. And said, I know they was doing their filth and their evil. I knowed it. Said, I know they was doing it. But said, they went right on preaching. And said, some of the people they were committing their evils with was right, went right on under the ministry. Said, I know that they was doing it. And said, miracles was happening. But said, I know that they were evil. Now, what is it? See, to gather the tares. God was to gather the tares together first. That was the first thing. Was to gather all the tares in a great bundle and bundle them together. And then after that he bundled them together, then cast them into the fire. But following that, he was to gather the church after that he gathered the tares. You follow me? He gathers the tares, binds them into bundles, then he raptures the church, and then he leaves the bundles to the tribulation, to go through the tribulation. They're already bound, see? You say, but Brother Pike, I believe he'll take the church out and then he'll go through all the binding of the bundles. He couldn't do that. Because the church, the people of God, are the salt of the earth. And the day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire came down. And if God takes the church out first, it's just... So then he's got to work with them and bind the tares first through their religious bundles of giving them a chance to have what they call revival in all these constitutions of denominational powers that will wind up in the National Council of Churches, which Jimmy Carter is setting in motion. I made a statement. I said he's not just going to be a president. That's going to be a religious man. He's going to be interested in religion. Did it happen that way? All right. So then, you know that in Revelation 10, according to the Bible, we find it in Revelation 10 that the angel came and set his foot on the land and the sea. Isn't that right? Now, if they'll set this board over here for me, I won't take a few minutes and talk. Now, if you start getting weary on me, I'm going to stop right there. If you don't have enough interest and hunger to try to do something for the good of your soul, I'm not going to press you anymore. The camp meeting's bypassed. It's gone on over. Everything is at a turn, and the thing is at a turn to where God is going to those people out yonder and not to you. Now, you've had your chance, but now what you can do, you can have one of the greatest things in the world at Little Bethlehem, but you are going to have to put forth the effort now. And you say, how do you know that? Because I tell you again, I saw many multiplied people at Little Bethlehem the other night, all clan up, turn away and wouldn't listen at me, and got in a routine of marching just round and around and around to the leadership of somebody that had them under his control. And they wouldn't listen. It just wearing them out. The person that had control of them was just wearing them out doing nothing, just round and around. And they couldn't get control of themselves. So I know that the devil is trying his best to do something to you. But if you'll listen to me and walk with me and do the thing that I tell you, you won't just go around in a circle like in wandering around in the wilderness, because you don't have to do it. There is a right way to go. But if you're going to take the outlook that old Brother Pike, he's puffed up and he thinks he knows something, and you might as well not have come to Little Bethlehem. You are nothing but taking a devil's attitude. And you're a hindrance to you and to God and to the people and everything else. But if you're going to take that thing, that you're going to swallow that old pride of yours down, that old self-righteousness of yours down, that old evil way of surmising of yours down, and say, my God, my soul's hanging over the flames of hell, I got to do something. And take that attitude, then we can get together and get in a mind of love and peace and joy in the mind of Christ, and you don't have to wander through a wilderness. Folks, this is the truth from my heart. As long as you are in your own intellectual reasoning about religion, about Little Bethlehem, about the Bible, about the ministry, about what you think about it, you are in a wilderness. And it isn't until the day that you come completely to the place to where you know that you cannot lean to your own understanding. That you can't, you've got to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ. It's not until that day that you get out of the wilderness. You can be a fine feller, a good religious person. You can come and give tithes. You can help. You can do all those things, but still die in the wilderness. And I say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, die in the wilderness? I mean you're going through the tribulation. That's a better way to say it. You're going to die in your intellectual reasoning. If God don't suffer the devil to kill you before the tribulation, then you're going to go through the tribulation, because there's three positive perspectives of the tribulation. And that tribulation is from Egypt to Canaan, from Calvary through the Dark Age over unto the Protestants, and from the time of the rapture of the church to the tribulation period. A natural and a physical and a spiritual. God always works in threes. And the last perspective of it is Jacob passing under the rod. Now, I say a lot of foolish things. Not because they are foolish, not because I'm foolish, but because they are esteemed to be foolishness to you, in that God chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. And yet they're not foolish things. The things that the wise have are foolish, but these are foolish to the wise. In the Bible said it pleased God when they did not recognize him as God. When he came in a human form, he turned them over to a reprobate mind. He let them believe in foolishness, and the things they do are foolishness to God. I like this little badge right here. I have this in my pocket tonight. Why do I have this here tonight? Just talking to you, why do I have it here? Something happened yesterday. Today brings us to the middle of the week. Isn't that right? Is that right? Then why have I got this here? What does the law indicate? A rod of iron. It makes a difference. Why did all the commotion happen just before church and all the lights went off and the lightning happened? Why did that? Why did all that happen? Because it indicated Satan being cast out in the middle of the week. Last night, Brother Johnny gave this to Brother Richard, the Jew. It came in last night at the midnight cry. He turned it in to me. Last night, 12 o'clock. He came, he gave this to me. See, why do I have it today at the middle of the week? See, if we do not listen, if we do not care, if we do not believe there is such thing as the revelation of Jesus Christ, how then are we ever going to hear or know? So then, why do I have this lamb and the staff? Why do I have this badge here tonight? I didn't plan it that way. The Lord planned it that way. But see, it indicates something, folks. It indicates that the days of grace are at an end. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me there ain't going to be no more grace? I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you that you're approaching that now. Now, and it's a lot closer than you could ever dream. Now, see, I'm standing here with this badge tonight. It represents something. Now, just let's look for just a few minutes. And Johnny, y'all be sure not to let me forget this badge. Look at it like this. What do you get out of it? Now, here's the thing. Right here at the end of this camp meeting, I believe that all of you by now know that there is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And all of you by now know that we're going to have the spirit of revelation. We all understand that the gospel is to the world. Isn't that right? Now, I want you to listen to me now. Didn't the Bible make the statement, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Didn't it make that statement? Did it say, go ye into all the world and preach the revelation of Jesus Christ to every creature? It didn't say that, did it? It said the gospel. Isn't that right? Now, I remind you again, they said, Lord, why do you preach the gospel to them people in parables? Seeing that they don't understand what you say. He said, because it is not given unto them to know the revelation. You say, Brother Pike, he didn't say revelation. He said mystery. Well, what is a mystery? I mean, what is a revelation? It is a revealed mystery. It's an unveiled mystery. It's not given unto them to know the revelation. Why isn't it given unto them? Because the revelation of Jesus Christ is for the rapture of the church. Paul said, behold, I show you a revelation. Now you say, but he didn't say that. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. But Paul said, it was made known unto me the revelation. Then what was he talking about? The angel said the mysteries of God should be finished. What did he mean? The revelation of God would be finished. Now, so then what are we saying? See, what are we saying? Behold, I show you a revelation, Paul said. He didn't say a revelation, did he? Behold, I show you a mystery. Because it wasn't a revelation to them, because he didn't tell them what it was. He said, behold, I show you the revelation in the veil, but it's out of season. You can't have it. Now, isn't that right? Now, behold, I show you a revelation, but it's still in the veil. So, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, he said, this mystery tells me that we shall not all sleep. Said it's the power to rapture the church, a change to keep us from death. Isn't that right? Now, so then in our day, it is the unveiled mystery. Why is that? Paul said, I see things that can't be spoken. It's out of season. But at the sounding of the last trump, then it will be finished. Now, brother, there's been a lot of sounding since the days of John. How many of you know that? He said, and that angel, that last angel sounds, then the mystery will be finished. There's been almost 2,000 years since John said that. You follow me? So then there's been a lot going on since that, folks. All right. So then, if we had time tonight, we just break it down step by step, then you'd understand better what I'm trying to tell you. But I can't do that. I know I can't do that. I ain't got time to do that in the sense that you're not going to listen. I know you're not, because I done tried some things before. Now, but I wanted to try to at least get a little something over to you concerning the revelation. Now, let's look at this just a few minutes over here, if you will. Let's just look at it and see what we can understand. I want to talk to you now. It's my people. I want to talk to you. The Bible said Jesus preached to the people, and then he took his own disciples apart, talked with them, and just explained things to them, because it was given unto them to know the mysteries. If I do know anything about it, then I want to try to share what I know with you. All right, now, it's illustrated here in three heavens. You remember? Why is it that the red dragon is missing now? When I taught it before camp meeting, he wasn't missing. He wasn't missing, was he? He was right down there. Isn't that right? He wasn't missing. But something happened up here one day, and you've already missed that part, because the revelation that I get that I want to bring you, because you're not ready, a lot of times I can't go back and pick it up, because those daily things that happen, I'd have to put them in a book, so that I could go back there and intellectually remember them. Now, I've got them in my heart, and the Lord will take me right back to them. Numbers and numbers of times he does it. But to come up here, it's bad enough, see. Now, right now, I got an open door in your heart. Everything's all right. I can talk with you. I got an open door. But I get this chance one time, maybe out of 25, to where everybody either gets in or gets scared or gets shuts up or sets down or do whatever, see. All right, now, but now here's three perspectives of it. In this 1, 2, 3 right here, what is it? See, why is the red dragon missing? Like the lightning today. Like that thing that happened the day that I came in and I was here and Brother Gary and him was working in here, and all of a sudden the Lord dealt with me and I went up there and I erased the red dragon. Why was it? I can't tell you. Naturally speaking, unless the Lord will go back and pick those things up and bring it out, which he might do if I talk here a few minutes. But there's one thing that you got to admit, it's not on the board. Isn't that right? All right, there's a 1, 2, 3. Why did God let that happen just at camp meeting? That thing had been on there and been on there and been on there. Why didn't I erase that thing? Why didn't somebody else erase it? But all of a sudden, right at camp meeting, here I go erasing the thing. And why did I do that? Somebody said, well, because camp meeting was coming. Well, I knew camp meeting was coming a year ago. We said it every day for the 4th of July. You know, every year. All right, so there was more to it than that. It happened at a precise time. Some things had taken place. We had been down to Raitway Cross, and we'd had a meeting down there, and it brings in the perspective of Calvary. When you go down to Way Cross, and we'll try to illustrate this just a little bit. You go down to Way Cross, you bring the middle perspective of this sin, see? Remember, there is earth, there is heaven, and there is Satan's dominion between heaven and earth. Here is man's mind, here is Satan's mind, and here is God's mind. Now, this is the first heaven because this belongs to man. You understand what I'm saying? You say, I don't see where that's a heaven, but it is a heaven. If you don't believe this is heaven, when do you go to hell? And you'll say, I was in heaven and didn't know it. Now, so then the first perspectives of life is heaven. Now, but the next perspective is not man's spirit. Angels are greater than men. Man's a little lower. His spirit is weaker. But see, up here, this is angel spirits up here. This is the second heaven. This is angelic spirits up here. Where this is human spirits down here. You follow me? But there's a step higher than the angels. Brother Branham went into the second perspective of it. He saw himself in the second perspective. Somebody said, well, what I believe it was, Brother Pike, I believe that he was caught up into that second heaven. You say, well, why second heaven? Because, said the angel of the Lord told him, or the people here told him that there was a higher place where Jesus was. Is that right? Said, well, then he was caught up into the second heaven. No, he was already in the second heaven. It was just revealed to him where he was at. That's what he was. It was revealed to him. You say, but Brother Pike, there was people there that was in his ministry that had died. I know that. But our spirit is in the same place they're in because we're dead and buried in the water by the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, but that's a game. No, it's not a game. That really happened. Really dead. Really dead. Really dead. A genuine death. It happened. No play, no make-believe in God's. You know, we preach things spiritually and people just take it like a make-believe, you know. Like I say, we make-believe with the body of Christ. Now, I want to show you this. The carnal mind does that. A man that's smart in his mind or carnally minded, whatever he is, worldly minded, when you tell him spiritual things, it's a make-believe to him, you know. We make-believe with the body of Christ. We know we ain't. But we convince everybody that we are because we make him believe. Now, do you believe God carries on such foolishness as that? Now, we're not trying to make anybody believe anything. We really are the body of Jesus Christ. And if I had plenty of time to go into it, I could prove that step by step in the revelation of the Lord. We really, genuinely are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so then here's the three perspectives of it. This part here had to do with Waycross. When we went down to Waycross, here we see a perspective here that had to do with Waycross, had to do with Brother Reuben Brookshire, had to do with Brother Blake. Here, when we went to Waycross, it had to do with the red dragon being cast out. You follow me? How do you understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, there's two things to look at, red wind bands on the white tent, red wind bands on the green tent. Now look at it. Here, the red dragon had to be cast out. Now we went down there as a typical thing. Where is Satan's stronghold? Now don't jump the gun. He's in the woman. For what is the middle realm? The woman. The man, the children, or the woman. The children. She's in between. Is that right? It's the woman. Why is it the woman? Well, he can't work in the children's mind. They're immature. He can't get what he really wants and get in control of the world. He can't get into the man's mind because the Bible said the man was not found in the transgression. But the woman, being the weaker spirit, he talks to her all day long. He talks to her. That's all he does. He talks to her all day long. You got a problem. She's up one day and down the next. In one day and out the next. Try reasoning sometimes when Satan's got a hold of a woman and see what you can do with her. You can't do nothing with her. I say that to you ladies. I want you to listen now. What is it? Where does your trouble come from in the world? It comes from the woman. Check it out. They've checked it out. Even the detectives, even the law has checked it out. And they say in every case where there is murder or a bad thing that happens in the world, it's always money and a woman, they say in every case. Now, so then what is that? It is the middle wall of petition. You understand what I'm saying? It's the middle wall of petition. Now, a woman will take a child and she'll beat that child out of her temper. She'll just beat that child. But you let the daddy go to correct it when it really needs correcting, and she'll stand off and look at him like she could shoot him. She may not say nothing to you, but she'll hem-haw around and get so upset with you she can't hardly stand it.
Let a trouble get started, and the man, he'll try to straighten the thing out and shut it up, but not a woman. She'll keep pulling and picking and say, yeah, you're agreeing with them, you're agreeing with them. Yeah, you're just on their side. And she'll hound and press until she's got it into a snowball. All right. Now, who is that woman? It's you fleshly people that are sitting here in this audience. That's the woman. That's the one that causes all the trouble. The Bible said if you are in the flesh, you cannot please God. He that is in the flesh, he cannot please God because it is the woman. And it is where all the trouble and all the heartaches are. Everything that ever happened bad was caused by a woman. So it is a fact that Eve is not only the mother of all living, but the mother of all trouble and problems. So we see then that God allowed that because the flesh is the troublemaker. If you walk after the flesh, you're going to die. How do I walk after the flesh? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, don't I have to eat? Don't I have to drink? You're not walking after the flesh because you eat and drink. If you eat and drink to excess, you're walking after the flesh. But you're not walking after the flesh because you eat and drink. Jesus ate and drank. He didn't walk after the flesh. Then what is walking after the flesh? To be carnally minded. It's a mind thing. Man's mind, Satan's mind, God's mind. Why do you say the middle rim is Satan's mind, Brother Pike? Because the middle rim is the angelic rim. See, and Satan is a fallen angel. You follow me? That is the angelic realm. That is a realm that's superior to you. It's greater than you are. Now, you going to listen a little while? We ain't even got off of the primary side of it yet. I want to learn you to swim someday. But anyway, this mind that is Satan's mind, it is an angel mind. It is the middle rim. It is an angelic mind. It is a middle rim. So then it is a middle rim. It is a middle wall of petition. Now I say this to you again, folks. If we're just learning a lot of stuff in our head, and we're just packing our head full and we're in ourselves listening, we need to close shop. But if we're talking about the past, the present, and the future, and eternity, and whether or not we're going to spend our time in hell or go hungry or get killed or suffer and be in pain or lose our loved ones, then it's worth listening to. There's got to be life somewhere. You say, well, life, God gets ready, he'll give it. The Bible said death came by man, life will come by man. God isn't going to give you life except by man. I ain't listening to no man, but the Bible said life will come by man. If you ever get it, you'll listen to a man because he said it'd come by man. All right, so then, in this middle wall, here in just the elementary side of our teaching, not getting into the real move of the revelation, just the elementary side to try to get you established after all I've talked to you. Here in this is the mind, this is an angelic mind. Now, that's where the problem is. If man's spirit is weaker than the angel spirit, then those angelic spirits, they just come down and they bind you. They get on you just like fleas on a dog. I see people sometimes, and there might be a half a dozen spirits on them. Maybe they give place to one spirit, and a half a dozen others came in. That's why the Bible uses the term, now speaking a little on demonology, that's when the Bible uses the term when it says when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. Now see, if it says when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, then that means that an unclean spirit can dwell in a man. Isn't that right? If it goes out of a man, it means it's been in the man. It's bound to be able to dwell in a man. Said when the unclean spirit, what is an unclean spirit? It is an angel. What kind of angel? A fallen angel. Now, what is an angel? He is a spirit. What kind of spirit? An unclean spirit. What does he do? He defiles your spirit. See, as a human being, your spirit is not unclean. You haven't done anything for it to be unclean. You say, well, I'm a sinner. But the Bible said the creature was made subject to vanity not willingly, but by reason of him, God, who subjected the same in hope, Christ in you, the hope of glory, in the hope of eternal life, in the hope of making you into a God. You follow what I'm saying? All right, so then, in this, that spirit, comes in, and that spirit binds your spirit. It infiltrates your spirit. You say, Brother Pike, you say my spirit is dirty when that happens? Yes. You say, but how is it dirty? Through thoughts. Thoughts make you dirty. You understand what I'm saying? There is dirty thoughts. There is virtuous thoughts. There is clean thoughts. There is unclean thoughts. Do you believe that? So then, what is unclean thoughts? Unclean thoughts is the kind of thoughts that does not pertain to godliness. Anything that does not pertain to godliness, virtue, temperance, faith, patience, long-suffering, self-denial, anything that is not pertaining to godliness and those things are evil spirits, evil thoughts. You follow me? A base thought. So then those thoughts make you dirty. Paul said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. Have virtuous thoughts. Somebody say, oh, Brother Pike, I'm done going on. Why are you taking us back through kindergarten? I've been over this for years. Well, you ain't even never got to this. You that's sitting there thinking, you ain't never got to it. I'm checking some of your spirit right now. And it's a truth fact, you ain't even never got this. You say, but I prayed. That don't mean you got it. Say, I fasted. That don't mean you got it. That don't mean a thing. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and we didn't get it? Say, because I didn't pay any attention to what you was doing. That's it. So then in this middle realm is where the trouble is. This is the trouble. Spirits. All right, then in this, if there are spirits in that realm between heaven and earth, then that means that that is where the devil is. That's where the red dragon is. So then if we could locate this realm right here, we'd know where the trouble was. Or somebody said, well, I'm smarter than you are because I know where it's at. It's up here between heaven and earth. Boy, they never have found it up there. They've been slap up to the moon. They ain't never run across it. Never have run across it yet. They run into a lot of things, but they ain't run into no devils and things like that up there. You understand what I'm saying? So then you say, yeah, there's devils up there, but the Bible don't teach that. Isn't that right? He said, though thou climbest up to heaven, and you carry the sin up to heaven. You see what I mean? There ain't nothing wrong with the constellations. So then where is this realm? This realm has got to be somewhere where there's human beings. Devils have to live in human bodies. They've got to live in human bodies. You say, no, Brother Pike, but they have. They've got to have a human atmosphere, a human sphere round about to be able to live in it. See, they can't live in the others. You say, but devils can just fly around like birds. But the Bible said that they wander through dry places seeking rest and can't find it. What are the dry places? The rich man looked down from heaven. When he looked down in hell, there was a great gulf between hell and between heaven. And that great gulf was the bottomless pit. And they wander in that bottomless pit around with that blasting heat from that furnace that someday they're going to be put into. Because they can't get into the paradise on the other side. You follow me? So then there has to be a human realm somewhere. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, it wanders through dry places. Is that Bible? If I'm not on the Bible, you need to tell me. If I'm on the Bible, you need to say amen. Those spirits go out of a human being. They can't just dwell anywhere. They wander through dry places. They're seeking rest and they can't find any rest. Then what do? The Bible said, if I cast a devil out here, that thing will wander through dry places. When it can't find rest, it'll seek a place. When it can't find it, it says, I will go back to where I came from. When it comes back, it can't come in because the Bible said the house has already been sanctified. It's garnished, cleaned up. Now, but it's one thing to be cleaned up and be sanctified and another thing to be filled with the Spirit of God. You'll agree to that, won't you? So then when it comes back, what does it have to do? The Bible said that it don't have the strength to get in because cleanliness and godliness repels evil spirits. They have to have things dirty. But inasmuch as you don't get filled with the Spirit of God, then the Bible said it will go and take seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they will come and then they will defile you. In other words, they'll do you just like, they'll get around you. One will hit you on this side, one on this side, one on this side, and tempt you this way and that way till they get you so confused so you just throw up your hand and all of them comes in. Seven other spirits, and they just circle you and they drive you crazy till they get in. And then when they get in, the last state of that man is worse than the first. You follow me? All right. Now, I brought in what you would call the preliminary side of it when really it isn't. But to some of you that advanced, you could consider it that way. But see, that means that the devil has to live in the human realm. That is why he is called the red dragon. It's because devils live in the bloodstream. The life is in the blood, and they're cut off from that water of life. And they're trying to get into that bloodstream to get that life. Paul said, within my body there dwelleth no good thing. There dwelleth no good thing, he said. He said, for in my heart I delight after the things of God. I want the things of God. But he said, I see another law in my members, in my body. There's no good thing. I see another law in there. Said it's in my members, in my flesh. And said it's constantly warring with me. And when I would do good, evil is present. And I find that it's a ruse. That wars with me. And that it is a continual warfare. It don't ever stop. Now why is it a continual warfare? Why? Why must I go through a continual warfare? It don't make sense. If I love God and I'm a Christian, why should I have to listen to the dirty, filthy, evil suggestions of the devil all day long? If I'm a Christian, why do I have to do that? Are you listening to me? Now, it's unfair, seemingly, for me to have to do that. Isn't that right? But listen, if God had not left your outer man unredeemed and subjected it to vanity, it's called the creature, then how would God have ever revealed himself as a spirit proportionally, perspectively, by measure, to your inner spirit from glory to glory, faith to faith, measure to measure, and build your inner spirit by translation into the Christ child? How could he have ever done it? I go back to this, as we brought out before. How are you going to know bitter without sweet, or sweet without bitter? How are you going to know light without darkness? See, you've got to develop something. And to develop something, you've got to have a contrast. You've got to have versatility. Somebody said, well, I don't see where you'd have to have that. I'm a human being. I got a brain. I know. You mean that when you was born into this world, you as a human being, you had a brain and you knowed. As Eustace says over in Sweden, certainly not. You didn't. You was a baby and didn't know nothing. You just said goo. And everything you saw was just, it was just something around. You didn't know what it was. You had to develop. You had to be tutored. You had to be taught. You had to feel. You had to grow. You had to learn. And that's the way it is when you're born in the kingdom of God. You don't know. You're under tutors till the time appointed to the Father. And the time appointed to the Father, we say again, is the bar mitzvah. At the time when they take you in the Jewish way of life, Paul used it to illustrate, when they set you out before the servants and the people in a dedication as if to say, this is my son from now on. This is my son. You've been a son all the time. John said, now, beloved, you're the sons of God. You've always been a son. But now is the time of maturity. That is, you are accepted as a son about 12 or 13 years old. Is a bar mitzvah. Now, why that? Because Jesus was about his father's business at 12 years old. He was maturing. Isn't it right? All right, so then we see a great thing in this. Now, I know you're hot and uncomfortable. I'm sweating too. But that's the only way we're going to ever get it. Is to, if Jesus endured the cross, if he thought this was so worthwhile that he took the nails in his hands and spilt the blood and went through hell, if he saw the horror that was for eternity and thought this was so important he'd done that, I'm sure it's important enough
that we can sweat a little. Wouldn't you think so? Stay awake a little.
All right, now, let's just talk a little bit more. We ain't going to get into much, but maybe we'll get into some. All right, so then, we are under tutors. We'll pick up our thought here. Again, get the anointing in the mind of Christ.
Under tutors. See, so you don't know when you come into this world. You don't know when you're born into the kingdom of God, all those things. You are under tutors, daddies and mothers. The church is the mother. The ministry is the father. You say, Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell me that you believe in preachers is my daddy. Paul said, I've begotten you as a father in Christ. Isn't that right? Somebody said, but I got one father. That's my heavenly father. But the Bible said it's not Paul speaking, but your heavenly father. Isn't that right? So then the church is the mother. Is that right? And when the seed comes from the father, what happens? There is a travail. You say, where do you get that? The Bible said when Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. All right, now, how many understand what I'm saying? All right, so then I'm trying to say it in a way that you can understand. All natural things are typical of spiritual things. Now, the man of God, how does he teach you? The same way Jesus did. God is a spirit. He made all natural things for your education. You're going through school and college. So Jerry sends Jesus stand here. He's talking to a farmer. And the farmer said, man, 6 months, we're going to have a harvest. See, that natural harvest, he's got a natural mind. He's learned. He's naturally educated. The God on the inside, the spiritual Christ on the inside, goes to tutor him and takes what he knows. And he said, say not 6 months and cometh harvest. I say unto you, the fields are white unto harvest already. And then he begins to preach him a sermon from what he knows. Isn't that right? That's what the Christ does. That's what God does. That's what the Spirit does. It takes all natural things to educate you under the revelation of Jesus Christ with the spiritual things. Paul said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are understood by the things which do appear. Is that right? And that things that are made by things which are not, as far as appearance. Is that right? Somebody said, well, bless God, that's it. From now on, I'll figure it out from myself. Don't be silly. Don't be childish. You can't figure it out. Even though you know that everything in this world represents something spiritual, you cannot figure it out. If you think you can, go to it. It has to be an inspiration. You just be riding down the road. And all of a sudden, you get a spiritual inspiration. And when that inspiration comes to you, just shoo, and things begin to revelate to you. And all of a sudden, you say, my lands, I never knew a tree represented that. I never knew that was inside of a tree. Like I said, the knowledge of the Lord filling the heavens, the earth, and all these things. How will it do it? Because the veil, as I said to you earlier, will be taken away. It is the unveiling of the mind of Christ. When will he unveil it? When will he unveil that mind? What is the veil? Now, you know without me telling you this, but for the sake of some that don't, what is the veil? The veil is the carnal mind that Adam and Eve got in the garden. Is that right? Is that right? I brought it out on tape here. They lost their covering. I remember the covering of his glory. They lost their covering. You know what I'm saying. Some of you don't understand. But most of you know without me going through the message on the covering, you understand. They lost their covering. And then they had to have a covering. What was the covering? The glory, the revelational glory of God. It was lifted. The Shekinah was gone. But they had to have a covering, else they were naked. He said, there you are. You're naked. Now, I made a statement a lot of times, being without their garments, that was not what brought their shame, because they were already without garments when he first created them, and they were not ashamed. So then being without the garments, that couldn't have brought the shame. You understand what I'm saying? Those little old natural things that go on in the heart of a man in the union of male and female, that ain't nothing. Nothing. Just a little stack of bones and flesh and discretions, and it's nothing. The great secrets, the great hidden parts is God. The spiritual part, folks, there ain't nothing to the flesh. It's like grass. It just passes away. Though we place all the emphasis on it. I'm not getting a radical. I just get excited.
Now, so what I'm saying is this, is they had to have a covering. Why all of a sudden were they ashamed? Tell me. Why were they ashamed all of a sudden? He said, well, they discovered they didn't have any garments on. Well, they hadn't had any garments on to start with. That couldn't have been it. They had eyes to see each other. That wasn't it. That had nothing to do with it. The covering, the thing is, they lost their covering. And what did they lose? The Shekinah glory of God. Through unbelief, the just shall live by faith, they cut themselves off to death when they quit believing. Their lifeline was cut off. And they did not have a covering. And so they had to have a covering. And what did God give them? He covered them with the skin. Is that right? Tonight, the life that was one time covered by the image of the Son of God, because we were made in the image of God, that image being our covering, that Shekinah, that mind, that life that was one time in that, fell from that lofty place, went into this body, and had to be represented all the way down through the time of the Israelites as an Ark of the Covenant in badger skin, all the way down from the time of the fall, coming all the way down, going all the way through the wilderness. We've had this skin. The Bible said he made them coats of skin. Life went into a beastly body, and the image of God was lost, and today we don't know what he looks like. And I've said this to correct an error among the people. A lot of times they say, well, Jesus come in the likeness of God. We know what he looks like because people saw him. But Jesus didn't do that. The Bible said he come in the likeness of sinful flesh, in your image, and was made like unto sinful man. He didn't come in the image of God. Come on now. Said he partook of what the children did. All except the blood. Because if you break it down in the Greek word, you'll find out that it says he partook, but not all. That is, he didn't partake of the blood. That was holy blood. All right, now, but in coming on over, look at it for just a minute. When they saw Jesus, to prove my statement is right, when they saw Jesus, they stood looking at Jesus, and Jesus said, you have never seen God's image at any time. Now, if that was the image of God standing before him, why didn't they see it? Because he was made in the image of sin. John said, we don't know what he looks like, but we know this, that Thessalonians' change will bring our covering and our image back. We don't know what he looks like. We're already sons of God, but we're waiting for the redemption of the body, which is Thessalonians' change. Now, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we'll see him as he is. Isn't that right? So then the Ark of the Covenant remains in the badger skin, all the way over to the Jordan, and then when you cross over the Jordan, it comes out of the badger skin. Where is the Jordan? Calvary. Calvary is the Jordan. Where does the Ark of the Covenant or the life return? Where does it come out of the badger skin? Where does it come out of the tabernacle? Now, many times we've preached this, and you've heard it, that this body is a tabernacle. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. And we told you that that tabernacle was a tabernacle in the wilderness. And that the life was in that tabernacle and had to be carried over all the way to Calvary. When it gets to Calvary, then it is out of the tabernacle. It is no longer the tabernacle. It comes out of the tabernacle. Is that right? Because the tabernacle is not in the image of God. It wasn't made in the image of God, not the tabernacle. That's not it. Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. But Paul said, ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost. When it comes to the revelation, when it comes to Paul's ministry, he sees you as the regenerated, as the born again. When Peter speaks of you, he speaks of you as that on the other side of Calvary, as the Jewish perspective for the tabernacle. How do you understand what I'm saying? As long as this, we are in this tabernacle. So then from the fall of the garden, they lost their identity, which was the temple. They lost it. God's temple, Adam, the first creation, it was lost, the image. The woman
lost her image, which was her husband Adam. It was lost. So then it remained until Calvary. Now at Calvary, the veil of that Ark of the Covenant was rent in twain. That temple, that Ark, that covenant, that thing that they'd carried all down through the years, they had gotten to Calvary. That was Jordan, the crossing of the Jordan, the conquering of death. So God opened up the tabernacle. He rent the veil. He moved away the veil. And just as quick as he moved away the veil, he raised up a spiritual man by the name of John the Beloved. And John took a look right past the veil, right past the tabernacle, and saw the ark inside, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he wrote it down in a book. I saw it as the veil moved away. I saw it, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the ark of his covenant. That's why JT said what he did about the thing being here. Now, in that this happened, the red dragon went out. That's why I erased it from down here. Now, it went out. Now, I know that some of you know what I'm talking about because I've talked to some of you for hours. I've called you off to the side and talked to, maybe I talked to you today, maybe Brother Taylor today, maybe Brother John Jameson tomorrow, Brother Al the next day, maybe another brother the next day for hours at a time and explained and expounded. And then I preached here and we got a lot of it on tape. And I know that you understand when I say the revelation of Jesus Christ is the Ark of the Covenant. I know that you understand what I'm saying. When John saw the revelation of Jesus Christ, as he called it, it was the Ark of the Covenant taken out of the body of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Today, the Ark of the Covenant is still within this human body. It's within you. The kingdom of God is within you. The Jews missed it because they looked for it outside of a spiritual revelation. They looked for it in a natural thing. And they didn't get it. Because he said, my kingdom's not of this world. The kingdom of heaven's in your heart. It's not of this world. You'll never see it. Fast, pray, do all you want to. You'll never see it. It is a spiritual revelation. God is a spirit. He spiritually transformates your inner spiritual man into a oneness of his spirit. That's the way you're raptured. That's the way you go to heaven. That's the way you have eternal life. All this going to church and religion and kneeling at the altar and crying, shouting and hollering, that ain't nothing. God is a spirit. There ain't no life in shouting and hollering. There ain't no life in going to the altar. That's been a routine, been a type. You say, but Brother Pike, don't I have to repent and go to the altar to get saved? No. You know that. So then the veil is taken away in Christ. What is the veil? It's the same thing Rebecca had over her. It's the dark carnal mind. It's the veil. They were naked. They had to have a covering. And God gave them a covering. And that covering was the beast covering of the tabernacle, which we refer to so many times in preaching as the badger skin. Now, but in as much as that was put there, the red dye and all to represent the blood covering, in that it was put there, the veil, it meant that the bride, which is the inner Christ, Christ within you, the hope of glory, it means that that bride of Christ, the membership of his body, is in a human veil. Now, it don't have to be in a human veil. Since Calvary, the veil is open. But because the thing is not made effective until it comes to the perspective of faith, then we don't enjoy it. You're gods, but you die like men. Already gods by the word here. Already gods by what he done. We're not, you say we're waiting for the redemption of our body. That is true. But I say again, we're not waiting for a time element to the redemption of the body. If that's true, then how did Enoch get it? We are waiting for faith. Faith. That's what we're waiting for. That will be what the time element will be, is when the church gets ripe in the faith. All right, now. So then from Calvary, it is over. It's finished. The world passed away. The new world set in. But only for the believer. Now, I'm losing some of you already. I can see that. And we're not going to be able to go any further. You don't have that much interest in it. Some of you are very interested and sit here, as I said so many times, all night. But some of you are heavy with sleep. Your minds, I don't know what's wrong with them, but it'll never get it. You're still in the darkness. You're still in the wilderness. You can't get over the Jordan. But anyway, here we are at Calvary, and they had to have a covering. What was their covering? Their covering was that tabernacle, that badge of skin, that mind of carnality of Satan. A mind is a nature. A nature develops a body. A body is a skin that he gave them as a coat of a covering. And all the way from the garden coming down, they had that till they got over here to Calvary. And God made his son in the likeness of that tabernacle, of that image, of that veil, of that covering, and took that covering and showed them that he was displeased with that covering, which was not the image of God in which he had made them, but a fallen, depraved image of sin. Jesus made sin. And that he hated their image because Calvary was the morning. He said, I'll hate your image in the morning. And so he smote their image. Smote it as a bastard child. Because they said he's a bastard child, whereas he wasn't a bastard child, but God let him be born in such a way that to the people he looked like a bastard child, that he couldn't enter into the congregation of the righteous. So he smote him. Took him, hung him at Calvary, and smote him. Who hung him at Calvary? The inner Christ. Who is the inner Christ? God. God picked that image up, took it up there, hung it up there, and smote it to make an end of sin for you and I, if we can believe in it. But that's what God thought of it. That covering of skin that he gave them, he was not pleased with that. He had to give them that because they were ashamed. And he told them by the prophets of the Old Testament, after he gave it to him, he said, you cover with a covering, but not of me. He said, it's not my covering. Didn't he tell them that? Well, that's true. What is his covering? They were made in the image of God. That was God's covering, his Shekinah. He said, you cover the covering, but not my covering. So then here, he resurrected the Christ, and the one that came out of the grave was the glorified Christ. That was the covering of God. You say, but what did that do for the people? At Pentecost, that spirit came back into the hearts. And a mind is a nature, and a nature builds a body. And from glory to glory, we become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. From faith to faith, from glory to glory, he transformated our mind by his mind and spirit. He transformated our blood. He transformated our body. Translated our spirit into the kingdom, transformated our mind into his mind, and transfigured our body into his body. With God, it is completely over and finished. It's been over and finished ever since Calvary. But we're just now coming into it, because when you come into the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's the rapture. That's the change. The world is over and gone. You're not a human being anymore. You are a God. So we're not waiting for the redemption of the body in the sense that God's got to do something to redeem the body. It didn't say that we were waiting for the redemption of the body. That is an error to teach people that we are waiting for the redemption of the body. It said we are waiting to wit the redemption of our body. The word witty, invention, a witty old gent, to seek out, to search, to come to a knowledge revealed, to know, to come to understand what God did for us at Calvary. To come to get the knowledge, from the knowledge comes the believing. From the believing comes the change. We're waiting to wit, you understand, that it might be made effective in our body. So I'm beginning to wit. I don't know whether you are or not. We're under tutors till the bar mitzvah, and then we begin to wit. We understand. We're witting all the time, but we don't wit fully because we're like children. You understand what I'm saying? All right, so then at Calvary, and I'll say a little more in close here because we didn't even nothing like get into the thought I had lined up for the present truth or whatever. You know, we just don't have enough interest and enough time. That's all there is to it. But from Calvary, the red dragon went out. He went out. At least I can bring it that far to make a point. He went out. That's why I erased him. Because this camp meeting indicated the manifest Calvary. That's why we went to Waycross. That's why we picked up and went to the land of the midnight sun. When we went to the land of the midnight sun, it meant the veil was now moved. There was no more carnal darkness. See, gross darkness covers the people in the end time, but in the end time the light comes. Shall be light in the evening time. So then we went to the land of the midnight sun.
gross darkness. People who are in the mind of Satan are getting darker and darker. More ignorant and more ignorant. They won't even wear clothes anymore. They want to go to pop festivals, take dope, jump around a bunch of drums, holler, scream like a bunch of hyenas, pop firecrackers, spin wheels, go to races and see people get killed. It's darker and darker and darker. But the people of God, light in the evening time, they're getting lighter, 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 and lighter. They're transforming too into the world of light, while the others transformate into a world of darkness. So then, from the garden is a transformation by the fall into darkness to the ultimate of Calvary. From there begins the transformation of light into an ultimate in the end time of the rapture. So we see that the red dragon was cast out. That's why that we went to Waycross. That's why we went to the land of the midnight sun. It's because that was the end of it. I could highlight a lot of things here. But that was the end of it. We went to the land of the midnight sun. That meant that there was no more darkness. Then, now look at the extreme that God goes to. Provided thousands of dollars for a number of people who wasn't even worthy, including myself, to even be considered a human being, let alone a child of God, and have the experience that we had. Mumbled and grumbled in all the way. But took us up to the land of the midnight sun, to that great extreme, to bring about his masterful revelation and to reveal his great mind to the people in a way that it would be confirmed in that they can't say anything against it. For why did we go to Norway? Why did we go to the land of the midnight sun after that I said we would do it? I'm a poor boy. I don't even have enough money to pay the bills. Somebody said, well, you finally scraped it together. No, I didn't scrape it together. You try scraping it together. Make a trip. Now, so then what was it? The Lord prepared the way. He made the way at the time I said he would. So then we went up there. That means it was over. Calvary, that was the dividing asunder. Going up to the land of the midnight sun. The Christ caught up to the throne. The return, coming back for the camp meeting. When we come to the camp meeting, that was Pentecost. That had to do with it, where the message was to go into all of the world then. The people. That's why we've got the motor home. We brought it from Calvary. From Waycross. You follow me? The Chrysler that came up was to go over to Brother Ernie. The Cadillac I got was to go to Brother Raff and them as the redemption of the body. I know you carnal-minded folks. Some of you, I don't mean all my brothers and sisters. Some of you so carnal-minded, you've been trying to figure all of that out, why I done it. You ought to know me better than that. That's right, you have. You just can't digest what I do. Even sometimes my own relatives can't do it. I get a repercussion from my own children sometimes in what I do. But anyway, nevertheless, the Chrysler came back. It was to go to Brother Ernie, which it did. The motorhome was listed at $40,000. Why? Because it is the woman going away into the wilderness. A place prepared for her for a time's time and a half a time after the child has been born. Who is the child? Somebody said, bless God, that's me. I know I was coming sooner or later. Don't be silly. Ain't no one person the man child. I tell you again, Jesus Christ is the man child. That's a many-membered body. Get away from that foolishness that otherwise you feel. The man child is Christ's body. It's the church. Jesus himself is the head of that. He's the one that's got the revelation. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? The woman went away into a wilderness. So what is it? There's a beautiful motorhome. What is it? A place prepared. Where is the wilderness? All of those people out yonder that's had those tent meetings, that was the wandering through the wilderness. It came up to the Jordan. When it came up to the Jordan, it changed from the tabernacle to the temple. How many times have I preached that the days of the tent was over and that this was the temple? And that even these pillars come out of the tabernacle to substantiate it. I'll make you pillars in the temple of God. And how many times have I preached that out there is the cities of refuge? Some of them being on the other side of Jordan. See, Brother Terrell calling them away. The woman perspective of it. Is that right? So then, if this camp meeting had to do with the fact that the man child was born, and God is using little Bethlehem as a representation of that, making known here the revelation, this is where you get off track. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that you're so narrow-minded that you believe that this is happening at little Bethlehem and nowhere else in the world? I certainly am not that narrow-minded. I believe that it's happening here and happening all over the world. But I do not believe that the revelation of Jesus Christ is being made known all over the world. The revelation of Jesus Christ is being made known at little Bethlehem. God uses one place to reveal it, to let a group of people know what it is. But all over the world it's happening. They don't know about it. Somebody said, you mean they don't know the rapture is taking place? I ain't heard nobody say anything about it. Been all over the country, out of the nation, the islands, everywhere else. So then what is it? See, there has to be a group of people that knows what's happening. They are cut off. Those out there are cut off in this way. That is the wilderness. That was the woman. That was the travail. But now at this point, we've come to the Jordan. When we come to the Jordan, what happens? When we come to the Jordan, the man child goes over the Jordan. He's caught up. The sun stands still. The man child goes over the Jordan. When it goes over the Jordan, then something happens. Now, I felt a repercussion when I said a while ago the revelation was here. Let me say it like this. You go find it and bring it back to me. Why don't you do that? Rather than say it like I did, why don't you just go find it and bring it back here? You've looked for it. Some of you has looked for it so hard to try to prove me a liar. Go find it and bring it on back. Others are trying to do it. You do it. All right, so then what is it? We come to the Jordan. When we get up to the Jordan and the man child goes over, where does he go over? This is the Jordan, the middle room of petition, the carnal mind. What does he go over? He goes over that angelic mind, this little mind of man that's been in trouble down here, that is relative to this mind of God that created it, has got entangled with this mind here that's supposed to be down here in the bottomless pit. It's climbed up over the man because it's greater in strength, got up here between him and God as a man at the middle wall of petition. And the serpents have climbed up into the upper lintel, the second heaven. How did they do it? By grace. When grace came, it made allowance for demon spirits to live in a human body and the human body not be destroyed. In the Old Testament, you couldn't do that. If a demon got into a human body among the church, they stoned him to death. But now, it can happen, or it could happen. You follow me? In this, this thing has taken place. I went over to the land of the midnight sun. I came back. What did it mean when I come back? It meant that Satan was cast out of heaven. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean Satan was cast out of heaven? It represented Satan cast out of heaven. I want to remind you again that we'll listen and pay attention. That as long as the blood of Jesus is an atonement there at the throne of God, it means that grace can cover a blood life, for the life is in the blood, and that is blood on the judgment seat. And as long as that blood is on the judgment seat, it means that sinners are protected because he died to take a sinner's place. And that blood on that seat means that Satan can continue to live in a blood vein and be protected by God like Judas was, God choosing him and one of them a devil. It can be protected. The wicked can be under the grace. Here, this is the second heaven. You understand what I'm saying? It is the second heaven. What is me and Betty fixing to do? That's as quick as I say this, Satan will hop, he'll jump on his hobby horse and he'll say, there it is, I know it, I told you that way, here I am. Don't be foolish, you listen to me. Don't get to going around in a circle and in a clan and wondering, not knowing what you're doing. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. The motor home that we got, it's got an eagle on the back of it. It's got from 76 to 76, showing the beginning and the ending of a government. The government is the American government. I wished I had listeners. I wished I had listeners. Someday I'll be preaching to others and you'd give 10,000 worlds if you could get it. Already the inspiration to talk to you is lifted more and more and more. It's going away more and more because of you not having any hunger. Now, the motor coach down here indicates the place prepared for the woman. Even Brother Jimmy Kirk is wanting the other motor coach, which is the place prepared for the woman to go away into a wilderness. Where is the wilderness? Them people that was in the tent meetings, the outer courts, have never come into this third heaven that we're in. They're not in this third heaven. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean third heaven? I mean that we are not in the realm where the church world is, where the woman bore the child. We're not in that. What are they hollering and shouting and jumping for? Because they know we've been born and they're making a fuss over it. We have been caught up into the third heaven. Somebody said, boy, you have vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind. I guess Paul was too. He said such a one caught up into the third heaven. It is possible, you know. All right, now you say, well, this ain't the time for it. If this ain't the time for it, I think we better forget it because time's running out. Now, all right, so then where are we at? We are not in this level down here of a first heaven where the Jews was of garlic and onions and planting popcorn. We're not doing that. We've come to another level. What was the next level? The next level was an intellectual level of understanding and brilliance where men done great things in the scientific world. Great and mighty things and still doing it. Is that right? We're not in that level. We done gone beyond that one too. That's the second level. That's where Satan is. That's where they practice the red dragon, trying to preserve life in the blood by scientific means, always working with the blood. Isn't that right? Scientists discovered that life's in the blood. That's the red dragon realm. We're not in that realm. Now the world is still in that realm and the church world is still in that realm. Because the woman fled away into her wilderness. She's still in the second heaven. It didn't say she was cast out of heaven. But the devil, the red dragon, that is the crooked generation, the people that have Satan and sin in their bloodstream, is cast out of the second heaven, which means grace is lifted. And when grace is lifted, the second heaven is gone. Because that's what the second heaven is. It's grace. But grace isn't lifted for the woman. Because the woman is born of grace. So then the child, he doesn't stay down here. Satan can't stay there. Satan is cast out of the realm of grace, goes down into the earth, and then pursues the remnant. The remnant. You follow me? See, the remnant. When the dress is cut out to form the image, then the remnant's left. So Satan pursues the remnant to make war with the remnant. He can't get the woman. Why? Because she's got a place prepared. He can't get to her. 3.5 years, time and a half of time, till tribulation period is over. God's going to take care of the woman. He's got her sealed in. But then where does the child go? The child is caught up to the third heaven. What is the third heaven? The mind of Jesus Christ, the revelation. That's why that you are not getting it and many other hundreds and thousands won't get it, because it is only the child that gets it. Even the mother didn't get it. You follow me? She didn't get it. The child got it. Why did the child get it and the mother didn't get it? Can you see the difference between Mary and Jesus? Was there a difference? There's a difference between the church. The church is a fleshly thing. It's a body. You follow me? But the Son, Christ formed within you, which is the man-child, that is not a fleshly thing. That is not the church. The members that will join to that head at the end of that age, and I wish we had time to go into it. But anyway, that child will be caught up to the throne and rule with a rod of iron. That's what little Bethlehem has represented. The camp meeting is over. There's been a child that's been caught up. Not many, very few. But the child has been caught up to the third heaven. What heaven? Man's mind is one heaven.
angels' minds is another heaven. God's mind is another heaven. Is that right? We've come from a man's mind to God's mind by the way of the angelic forces. Is that right? We are caught up into the third heaven. The third heaven. Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you look to me like you're down here. Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. I said, I don't know where I took it with me or not. I ain't sure about that. So you can't prove nothing. Now, so then, caught up into the third heaven, I happen to know that we went up. I know it better than anybody else because it happened to me. So then we went up into the third heaven. So we're caught up into the third heaven. The devil has never been in the third heaven. Never. Satan has never at any time been in the mind of God and had the revelation of Jesus Christ. Never. But he has been religious in the second realm. And he has gone to church. And the sons of the devil came to present themselves with the sons of God. Isn't that right? And he went into the second heaven and presented himself before God. In the days when he tempted Job. How did he do it? He was in heaven. But yet he'd been walking to and fro in the air. I wish we just had time to go into this. But anyway, finding a place here, as I said, is going to close. It is a truth fact that at this camp meeting, it happened. The child went up. When the child went up, there was nothing left for the woman to do but go into the wilderness. That's why I say that some of you are in for trouble. Now, there was nothing left but for the woman to go into the wilderness. If you are the true woman, there is a place prepared for you. But woe be unto the other, for he went to make war with the remnant that the pattern was cut out of, that which was left over, that wouldn't listen, that wouldn't get into the right place, and let the scissors cut it out like it ought to be cut. So then, they have gone up. That motorhome represents it. This is the middle of the week, which is today. The lightning, all of these things. Grace, you say, what does that mean, Brother Pike? It means that that angel that stepped out there took that censer, filled it with the coals of fire from the heavenly altar, and slung it down into the earth. It means that at this period of time, that blood is off of the mercy seat. In the thing that's happening now is off of the mercy seat. And when that comes off of the mercy seat, this camp meeting represents it. When it comes off of the mercy seat, then immediately the wrath of God goes into the earth. Bumming, troubles, heartache, sorrows. Somebody said, that can't be. Brother Branham said, it'd be this year. Then what happens? Whether it does or not, you'll see that what I'm telling you will happen. What happens? 3.5 years to go. The child is caught up to the throne, hid with Christ and God, whom the heavens have received, till the time of restitution, the millennium, riding over the tribulation, like Noah's ark over the ill waters of government, to set down in the throne out there in the millennium and establish it to rule with a rod of iron, which little Bethlehem has to do with here. That's when people say, I feel God here. I feel this place different. I feel a peace here that I don't feel anywhere else. And so then, in going, what is happening? What is happening? There is something that is taking place. What is taking place? This is the point. Now, listen to me. There's a difference between the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was Paul the Apostle, and the catching up of the throne that was Christ revealed to the people in a human body. Paul said it was. Now, said, you receive me as Christ? He said, you ought to. That's the way he put it. So many words. He didn't grumble about it at all. Now, there's a difference between that and the two prophets. There was two prophets to go out during the tribulation period. There was to be a move. And in this move, it was to be two prophets that was to go out and do a work during that period of time. Whereas we are at that point right now to where you'll see that work begin to get started. Now, but the thing is, that still has nothing to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is an individual thing of Christ himself. We are at the point of that. This thing that's coming up with Jimmy Carter appointing that to bring it on over to something that will affect your natural carnal mind. Some of you, so carnal mind, you ain't going to receive nothing unless it's in your government or somewhere. I heard you the other day, you sat there for about 2 or 3 hours and listened to a man talk about the governments and different things and sat there. And tonight I'm trying to bring forth the revelation of the Lord. You can't even Some of you can't even get a hold of it, pay no attention to it. Rest just want to go. But anyway, in your government, and we'll read it to you at the Lord's will a little later, but Jimmy Carter has already violated the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. He's not going to do it. He's already done it. What does that mean from 76 to 76? It means the church ages are finished. That's what it means. As long as there's a Protestant government, it is the church ages. But when that ends, that means it is finished, it is over. And like the eagle and like the 76 on the back of the thing here, the little coach represents it. It's called an eleganzer, taken from the name elegance. But it's Eli, eleganzer, Elijah or Elisha, that went away for 3.5 years and there was no more rain during that period of time. When the child is caught up to the throne, they can jump and holler and skip and shout and do whatever they want to. But the church world is finished. I'm telling you here tonight from this revival, the church world is finished. She's gone. She's washed up. She won't do nothing but be a great charismatic order that is not of God. The foolish virgins are rising up at this midnight hour saying, we believe in Pentecost. We know now that that all is real. And we've got the Holy Ghost because we're speaking in tongues, but they haven't got it. And at this time, the door is closing. They've gone into the ark. That tribulation period, you're on the verge of the tribulation period. Jimmy Carter is inviting the Catholic powers in a religious order, that the Catholics might dominate this country and rule it in such a harsh way that your life won't be fit for nothing. Somebody said, well, I believe my enemy is communism. Your enemy is communism. But I want you to know something. There is something that's stronger than communism, and that's Catholicism. People know that communism is a government. Some people respect it, some people don't respect it. But people everywhere know that Catholicism is a religion. And it holds a higher office than a government. And it's going to be the powers of Catholicism that's going to do the damage. You say, can you prove that in Revelation? Communism is the red dragon. Is that right? Red China, the dragon nation, communism, it's the red dragon. Up at the moon, the red dragon. The woman, America, where is she at? Her foot on the moon, bringing forth Jimmy Carter, is that right? Then what happened to the red dragon? He gets cast out. Catholicism triumphs over it. Communism can't make it. Communism will try to make it and do all they can and be brutal and be cruel. And the whole world said, communism is going to get it. Communism, no sirree. The Bible said the rod of iron will get it. Rome is the one that rules with the rod of iron. She's the one that will take it. You watch and see, and Jimmy Carter is being set in gear to do it right now. Things is working to where they intend to get rid of their opposition, and the only way they can do it is through religion, and Jimmy Carter is smart enough to see it. He sees that he's no match for communism. As a government of communism, he knows that he is no match for it. He knows there's not a nation in the world that is a match for it, so he's going to do it through religion, and he's going to do it. All right, now there's just about so much that I'd love to bring out. We've not even scratched the surface. Now, I appreciate you for your kind attention, and I'm sorry if I scolded you any way out of order, but I honestly know that some of you can't possibly make it even into the kingdom of God, let alone into the revelation of Jesus Christ. You don't even have enough of God to even live clean. So it is nothing but a problem when you try to expound the word of God. But folks, the day will come, if you don't repent in a hurry, the day and the time will come when you will scream in the flames of a burning hell. You'll scream there. You'll say, my God, what the man told me was true. And I thought all the time he was wrong. And you find yourself down there in those flames. You're at the end of the trail. You might as well acknowledge it. This little badge that I brought up here, that's what it's for.
It means the law is setting in. Something is about to happen. Kissinger couldn't make it because he got on the wrong side of the Jews. And the Jews has to be pulled in with this confederation of churches. The man that's able to do the job has to have the favor of the Jews. Jimmy's got it. Now, I love you, and I've tried for a number of years to talk with you and help you and do all I can. I believe you'll acknowledge that. I've tried hard to the best of my ability. I've not lied to you. Paul said, my conscience is clear. I've not lied to you, not at all, about anything. And I've tried to have you a church home. I've tried to provide for you naturally as much as I could to help you, that God would bless you. And I'm still your pastor, and I'll still be your pastor. And I'm still the pastor of Little Bethlehem. I'm not leaving. We're not making a change. Say, well, we are. Go ahead. God isn't making a change, I'll put it that way. Man always makes changes. But the thing is, you are at a precarious place. There's something that has taken place. I've not been able to tell it to you step by step in the last few months. I started out to, and I wanted to, but you wouldn't listen, you wouldn't be hungry, you wouldn't be thirsty. And so many beautiful revelations are not even on tape that would have been on tape that I wanted so much to preach to you. And I'd come forth, and it wasn't, I just let it go on by. And I've tried to just tie together a few things, and I've not even expounded the revelation tonight as far as the carrying on through of it and of bringing up some present day truth and things that are happening. Even tonight, I haven't even done that. But I'll give you about as much as you can digest. But here's the thing. This is a precarious moment. Betty and I, if the Lord is willing, we're going to do a little preaching, maybe over in Brother Walker's territory, back through that. Everything outside, if you listen real close, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Little Bethlehem is the light of God. Out beyond that is another realm. It won't come into Little Bethlehem to live, to dwell here. The light is too bright with the long dresses and different things of the demand. But it'll stay off in the distance in the second dimensional thing and walk in the light of the city. Those that are way out, as the revelation goes to them, they will walk in the light of this city. I said that a long time ago, and some of you didn't believe it. But since that time, Brother Terrell's been started preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ. Since that time, Billy Walker published his magazine. He started preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ. Since that time, the preachers on Big Gun have started talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Since that time, Brother James and them over in Memphis have started preaching the revelation of Jesus Christ. And on and on and on, they'll walk in the light of that city. They'll walk in the light of that city. Now, at this point, and I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. At this point, it's a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place. Betty and I will go out there to them, and some of you will go out there to them, to those outer courts. Now I want to show you something real beautiful, just a little simple thing here. Look at Brother James Isaac. He's either going to Alabama or done gone. Which is it, James? Leaving tomorrow. Here's the middle of the week. There's James Isaac, the son of promise. All right, now, I want you to see something. At this very time now, the God mind that knows James's life and knows what he has appointed James unto understands what James is doing. Now, God might appoint me something I might not understand in my natural mind, but the God mind understands because it's the one that appointed it before the world ever was. And if somebody can get into the God mind, then they'll know. And that's what we're doing at Little Bethlehem. Now look at Brother James. Now here's a natural thing. Brother James going to Alabama. We could say more or less to visit his kindred because that's where they're at. He's going to take some Braille to the blind. That's wonderful. That's the end of it. But that isn't the end of it. But you look at it God's way, Isaac, the son of promise, leaving the throne, going down where? Into Alabama. What is Alabama? The heart of Dixie. What is Dixie? Dirt. Saul, the heart of the earth. What is he going for? Going to the souls in prison. Who are the souls in prison? Them that are blind and can't see. They're in a prison of darkness. Going down to the heart of the earth. What for? Going to his kindred. Because the resurrection of the dead, it's his body. Going down to Talladega, down into the graves. You understand what I'm saying? He's going down. Why didn't he go a month ago? Why is he going right here at the camp meeting? See, because it is the hour of the resurrection of the dead as far as the spiritual perspective of it. And everything is set that way. And looking at James's life through the mind of God, it is clearly shown what he's doing. What is he taking with him into the heart of the earth? The faith. The faith of the fathers. Isn't that right? God's healing word. You understand what I'm saying, folks? See, in other words, the mind, the divine mind of the Almighty God is moving. Every man is being used of God, but he doesn't know it. All he knows is by faith. He goes by faith. See, if God would let everybody know the mind of God, like when Paul said, I went up by revelation, that wouldn't have worked out. Because if we know what to do, then we'll go and do it. But God wanted somebody that would move by faith. If the Spirit of God inspired his heart, Abraham, go ye out here in a strange land, away from your kindred. Nothing to turn to. Abraham said, by faith I will go. That pleased God. He didn't know. But see, today, we not only walk by faith, but we can look and see why he went. Yes, what it was for. And today we've come into the third heaven, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The veil is gone. We know why James is going down there. We don't have to say James is going down there by faith, though he is going by faith. Yet we know why he's going. Like Paul said when he came into the revelation after Calvary, he said, I went up to visit with Peter by revelation. How do you understand what I'm saying? And so it is in everything else that we're doing. See, it shows that the end is here. I want you to stand with me. There's a few more thoughts I wanted to bring out. The woman going away in the wilderness. The coach will go, but inside of that coach won't be the woman, it'll be the man-child, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It'll be going to them. But the coach, it will be a different thing. The membership of the body of God will be caught up to the throne. You are a membership of that. I am a membership. But the type is the woman going away into the wilderness. That's the type. There has to be a type. That's the type, the woman going away into the wilderness. But what it is, it's the breaking forth of the man-child and the outer courts getting ready to be redeemed. When he put the measuring rod into the hands of those two prophets. And y'all laughed the other night when I said what I did when Brother Gary was up here working and my two little old fellas come up here. And Danny and Joe got that rule. Never done it before. They got it. I said, put it down. Now I knew they wasn't going to put it down. I said, you better put it down. They caught my head turned and they measured. They measured the courts. They measured the altars. They climbed up here. They measured this. They climbed. One went up into Frank's room and come out. One stood down here and they run the rule up and they measured that up there. And they measured and they measured and they measured. And I couldn't get them to put it up. It must have went on 30 minutes to an hour measuring. I said, there they are. Just right at the right time, I made the statement. They represent those two prophets. There they were measuring. Said, measure the altars, leave the outer courts out until after the tribulation period, say. Now, it means redemption of the body, a whole lot of revelation we have to go into to bring out what I'm saying, bring it in the Jewish perspective. The other day, they went down there, they measured that motorhome. They got that rule, and he went all through that motorhome, and they measured that motorhome. Now, you understand what I'm saying? You follow me and what I'm saying? There is something that is taking place. Something great and mighty is taking place. Something has already taken place. And I remind you again, Brother Branham said it will pass through the church. They won't see it. It did, brethren. It passed through the church and they did not see it. The man knew that it was a spiritual revelation and he knew that the people were naturally minded and he knew that because he preached to them. He said, Billy, y'all didn't get it. Said a thing's going to pass right through the church and you ain't going to get it. He saw that even in his day. It did it. Being a prophet, he spoke of it. Now, so then, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. Something has taken place. We want to leave if nothing happens. I don't know that we'll leave tomorrow. As far as I know, we probably leave tomorrow. Be gone for a day or two to look into some things. I had the Lord had impressed some things on my heart, and one thing was concerning Pensacola. I didn't mention it to my wife. And today, here comes a letter. Was it today, Betty? From Pensacola. The Lord had dealt with me about somebody there in Pensacola, the church. A lot of invitations. I want to field some of them. I go into a little place. I can't even find a motel there. But the motorhome will help me fill the invitations at some of the little places where they ain't got but a few people here and there. You want to lift your hands with me? Father of heaven, we thank you for your lovely, wonderful will and way. The little badge tonight, the little rod, the revelation, the mind of Christ, the members of his body, little Bethlehem. God, I pray tonight that you'd remember us. For I felt your power in such a mighty, magnificent way. Oh, Lord, I felt it in such a way, Lord, in such a masterful, powerful, wonderful way, until I'm so thankful from the bottom of my heart. I'm thankful for my people. I'm thankful for those that are laboring every day, Jesus, here to project this light that the nations may walk in it as it goes out through literature, through radio and testimony. Lord, let the light go out. And as the songwriter said in writing the song, send the light, send the light, send the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Hallelujah. Help us to send the light. And from this city, let them walk in the light of this city. Lord, a city set on a hill can't be hid. Let it so shine that men might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Lord, we're but a little people like the ants. But Lord, thou art our keeper and our leader. We ask in Jesus' name that you help us bless my people here, Father. Lord, they're tired and they're weary. And dear God, many of them labored, Lord, in travail to bring forth little Bethlehem. Lord, in the gospel, in the membership of this body, they've given much. They've given their time. Lord, they've really labored. Bless them, Jesus. You said they shall rest from their labors and enter into the joy of their labors. So I ask you to bless them and strengthen them. And those, Lord, who have been so careless, that's found fault and been troublemakers, Lord Jesus, for Christ's sake, have mercy. Give them a little bit longer to at least repent of their sins. If you bring them in the fire, Lord, may you deal with them and help them to see their foolishness. I ask in Jesus' name that while I'm gone from this place, Lord, I pray that the blessings of the Lord will be upon it each time that I leave it. And my brethren will be wise, Lord, to do good and not to do evil. Lord, that they'll protect their heritage and what God has put in their hands from the way of the evildoers. Take care of them, watch over them, and help them. Help us all together, heal the little children, heal the families. Keep them from getting into a clan. Keep them from getting into that march. Keep them from disobeying, Lord Jesus. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name, Father. Brother Hollis is coming back from Humboldt at this time. He is ready to close out in Humboldt and to leave and come back. And I really see something to that. They have to do with the Jewish people. And I see something to that in that he said there's one that wants to come with him. And that's the house of Jesse. Talk about the millennium. Father, Lord of heaven, as I pray for brother and sister, little John's child, I ask in the name of Jesus that you be with me, Lord. Be with this family. Heal, Jesus. I feel you healing now. Heal, Jesus. Heal this little body. Heal it. The name of Jesus, Father. Bless this mother. Bless that dad. Grant it, Jesus, as I feel the flow of Calvary. Grant it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You love Jesus tonight. Oh, leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to my Lord.